back, pulls up the three, boom, knocks it down. Curry from the corner at three, puts it in.
For overtime, makes it, Garrett, Murray.
Welcome to the MVP cast from me, Mark Woods. A international window approaches for Great Britain's men and the two opening games in the qualifiers for Eurobasket 2021. Monday the 24th at the Eagles Community Arena in Newcastle, a home game with Germany. But first, a game against Montenegro on Friday next. And with Nate Ranking unavailable, it will be Mark Stuttle stepping in to the shoes, or his shoes, as the interim head coach. I'm delighted to say he joins us now. And Mark, let me ask you first about this opportunity. How did it come about in terms of you finding out and getting offered the opportunity with Nate not able to come over and escape his G League commitments?
Nate's availability for this window was always going to be something that had to be looked at in depth. So the idea has been kind of floated for a while. So for me personally, it's not been too much of a out of the blue situation. Obviously, you know, it might be looked at in many different ways. And I think we probably finalised it. I don't know, formally, you know, over the last maybe previous couple of weeks, etc. But you know, it hasn't really changed too much for me personally, because you know, in terms of the preparation. You know that I know the players, the requirements, the competition, the level of the opposition that we're playing against, etc. So you know, in terms of that sense, I don't feel like there's been too much of a drastic change in terms of, you know, the previous, I guess, few months and few weeks, and just now really looking forward to getting into camp.
You obviously, having been around the program with Nate. As it has been stated by Tony Minicello, is still the overarching head coach, is still his oversight of this. How much has Nate been involved in the prep for this, and in terms of choosing the roster and generally getting everyone ready for these two games?
Yeah. So Nate, you know, absolutely right. You know, Nate's still the program head coach, and I know that, you know, Nate is you know, working with Canton, and you know, he's in communication obviously with the board. Tony, as you've said, you know, frequently. Nate and I are in touch frequently. The coaching staff are in touch frequently. So yeah, you know, in terms of I guess a lot of the work on, you know, player availability and trying to get our strongest roster available, you know, Nate has kind of I don't want to say signed off. You know, I feel like it's been a collective kind of contribution, but ultimately, you know, as the head coach, he does have the final say. I guess in terms of, you know, that point, getting us to, you know, the 24 players selected to be in kind of the initial squad. So that is, you know, that's kind of sits with Nate as the head coach. Like anything though, you know, that's kind of, I do, you know, good coaches who I've worked with and worked for, you know, they bounce different ideas off, you know, the staff, and you know, we one of the things that we've tried to do is have a more robust kind of tracking and monitoring system. And there's been a lot of work, you know, Jamie Smith and Adam Sewell and a couple of those guys that they've put in terms of making sure that we're getting regular, you know, frequent tracking updates. So that's been really useful. Obviously trying to, you know, see where players are at physically, where they're at with the club, you know, making sure that we have a real kind of in-depth overview of our players, to kind of give ourselves the best chance of making sure that everyone's available who we want. And then, you know, for this point, Nate has had a kind of sign off on that.
Will you spend some time with him before the game on the phone or on FaceTime, sort of talking about strategy? I mean, will he have time to input into scouting? I mean, kind of give us a flavour of how that dynamic will work towards game time.
We're obviously a few days out from you know, kind of heading into camp, and that started a lot, Mark. You know, it's kind of, we're probably, you know, later on in that process. That's been frequent obviously kind of, you know, like these windows, I guess communication gets ramped up a little bit as you start getting towards the windows, you know, when people are, you know, juggling their kind of commitments already. But that has happened kind of frequently, consistently, you know, going back in between the windows as such. So yeah, Nate is, that, I mean, obviously that's the circumstances are obviously, trying to think of the correct word, the circumstances, you know, provide different, I guess, opportunities, different challenges. And obviously one of them is that, you know, Nate kind of instilled, you know, some, how he wanted us to play, you know, what things that he believes in, you know, things that he's obviously working with at a high level in the States, and you know, that he thinks that there's some real advantage to kind of exploit within our British national team. So, and I guess, you know, I was fortunate to stay on as an assistant and kind of work with him in that capacity. So I am, you know, comfortable in terms of the style of play of such. But Nate is, you know, he's very much like a player's coach. He's very considerate. He's kind of overview on, you know, getting a sense and getting a feel of the approach that players have and working with staff and kind of empowering staff. You know, he's obviously, we've bounced ideas off, we've looked at what we did collectively, we've spoken about that review process, and we've now, you know, Nate said, you know, you get into the window, you know, I'm here if you need me, I'm here for some advice. You know, we've talked about kind of specific tactical things already, and he's kind of, you know, signed off with, you know, you go with what you believe you can do, you know, what you think can help us compete against, you know, two strong basketball teams.
In terms of your own career, I mean, obviously you were coaching Team Northumbria before the university pulled the plug in that. So what's the coaching role at the moment, away from this, obviously?
Yeah, so I'm still with Northumbria. We just, you know, they obviously scaled the program down, as you mentioned. You know, I think that maybe some misconception from different people, that was kind of a university wide. You know, it wasn't a men's basketball decision as such. So I'm still employed by Northumbria University to lead on the men's books program. So we still have, you know, partnership with the Newcastle Eagles, where I think we have four of their players at the minute who are kind of, you know, studied, like playing in the BBL, playing in the books program, you know, and trying to get that balance right. Had to, you know, refocus what that program looks like in terms of our recruitment, you know, where I felt like, you know, for a good 5-6 years, we were able to attract, you know, kind of really good British talent, maybe at that age of 18, 19, 20, compete in Division One, develop and, you know, push on and, you know, playing higher leagues. And so I've had to kind of refocus what that program looks like a little bit moving forward. I'm still, you know, people probably not aware, but the whole time that, you know, I was with Northumbria in that sense for, you know, 7-8 years, I was still a lecturer in sports coaching. You know, that's kind of my day-to-day practice. And I would kind of, you know, run that program like in conjunction with that. So I'm still with Northumbria. It took me a little bit of time to adjust, you know, from not coaching, you know, 50 odd National League games a year, and it's kind of given me a bit of opportunity to free up some more time to kind of do the advanced scouting work, you know, for GB as such. I also, you know, because I love coaching, I love helping people, you know, I've also spent a little bit of time with the Eagles WBBL team, you know, just kind of trying to support there. And I've just actually got, you know, last 2 weeks, the head coach has actually been doing some work, recruitment in the States. So I've been leading them. So, you know, I'm still kind of keeping busy. There's nothing as, I guess, you know, formal as there was at Northumbria when we're in the National League as such, but that's kind of been my requirements on top of just, you know, trying to help to pull the GB stuff together.
I've seen Chris Bruton's travel log around the States. I'm not sure how much work he was doing. He seems to be enjoying himself far too much.
No comment.
He's your best mate, you would say that. I mean, obviously, for going from Division One to coaching against Montenegro in Germany is a massive leap. And I guess the question would be, is how ready do you feel for that? How would you explain that to people who go, that's extraordinary, is that possible? How is the readiness factor from your side?
Yeah. I guess there's two ways to look at it. I'm very self-aware. Like, I'm very self-aware of how people can talk about, you know, the level that I coach, etc. The year that I led the under-20s in Division A, you know, it was a learning opportunity. And I don't care what any coach in the world says at any level. You know, I think we have to be reflective by nature, and we have to learn. And, you know, the higher the level that you're exposed to, the more that you're going to learn. So you know, I think the question is valid, and I think it's fair. And as I say, I'm very reflective, I'm very aware of who I am as a coach. And, you know, I guess people talk about your CV, you know, the piece of paper that says, well, I've coached and I've done this. Coaching is about people, about relationships. Like, and we all have to look at, everybody in the world has a tactical approach. I'm absolutely not kind of playing down the level of the opposition that we're playing against. You know, playing against the 26th ranked team and the 17th ranked team in the world. You know, so I am fully aware of the challenge, for the question that I asked myself when the opportunity was firmly offered was, honestly, what do I think is the benefit for the players? And I'm not saying that with any kind of air of arrogance where I am the benefit of the players, but I just think in terms of continuity, you know, I feel like my commitment is to the program and to the players, and I absolutely love working with them. And I'm confident over the previous three windows that I've been involved, you know, I've been able to develop relationships, but also offer contribution, you know, kind of positively to get the outcome that we've wanted. Is there a difference from assisting and, you know, being in a nice position where you can throw some ideas at the head coach and they can take them or they can reject them? You know, of course there is. But I think, you know, with the reality of the new window, you know, we're going to have some limited practice time, and then the ball gets thrown up. And, you know, we have to do what we can. So, yes, there's challenges. Basketball is basketball. You know, Montenegro, we're obviously, you know, competing in the World Cup, and, you know, very strong roster. They're going through some changes that, you know, they have a different head coach. The assistant coach is now stepping up to the head coach. So, you know, there's all these things going on. They are a powerhouse, and it's obviously embedded in their culture. I am fully aware of the challenge. I am looking forward to it. You know, I've been able to kind of speak with, you know, all the players in the squad, and everybody understands it's going to be a collective effort pulling together, you know, and making sure that as soon as we arrive in camp, you know, our mindset is on doing what we can do to get the best possible outcome.
How do you look at this group? Because obviously this is a massive step up for GB in terms of previous windows. It's also, I guess, a massive opportunity as well to kind of kickstart the men's program with one eye on what the women have achieved on this. I mean, obviously we know France is going to be tough. Germany's a big nation, Montenegro. The international windows can sometimes level things out because of players not being available, particularly obviously NBA players. But
yeah.
How much do you kind of feel that we maybe need to take a lead from what Shema Buthetta was really saying, is that it's important to dream big, think big, rather than going into this group thinking, well, we're probably playing for fourth and maybe we sneak third if we beat Montenegro twice?
Yeah, he's great, isn't he? And I think, like, let's just, and I will get to the question more, but I think let's, you know, take a moment to kind of commend, you know, what Chema and the women's group have done. And I don't think that this is obviously not yourself and the good work that, you know, the basketball media are doing. I just think that, you know, in terms of maybe mainstream media, you know, I think the acknowledgement what they've done under the circumstances is inspirational. You know, I was glued throughout their whole kind of, you know, Eurobasket campaign and obviously the qualifying tournaments, and I just think they've been inspirational. And I think Chema has been able to instill, you know, some, like you say, some belief, a system, you know, in which is this is how we're going to play. And, you know, people are probably aware of that, and let's see what we can do. So I just, you know, take a moment to, you know, probably haven't provided enough, articulated it positively enough on how well they've done, but I just, you know, on a personal level, I thought they were inspirational. Yeah, I mean, what you've said, why not? You know, we've got six games, you know, we've got three windows here. This is obviously the first window. And we have to ensure that we're trying to put ourselves in a position to be there in 2021. Speaking to the players, that you know what kind of players are like. If we are underdogs as such based on rankings, I don't think that's a thing to shy away from. I think that we can kind of use that to to maybe drive, you know, drive our motivation as such. I mean, why not? Why, you know, the ball gets thrown for 40 minutes. Why can't we go and compete with these guys? You know, our players are playing, you know, in high levels. And you know, they're used to playing against different level of opposition. We have to make sure that we collectively buy in to what we're trying to do. And, you know, I feel that there's been a really, you know, kind of positive shift over the time that I've been involved with guys who are able to come into the windows, you know, put personal agenda to the side and say, you know, what is required to put our men's team in the competitions that we want to be in. So absolutely, you know, can we look at what Gemma and the women's team have done? Yeah, I mean, we're not... Every group, every team, every situation, you know, people always look at what is successful and can we replicate it. We have to say, you know, what is our group? What are the strengths in our group? How can we try and be effective? How can we try and be successful? And hopefully, you know, build upon the core that we've tried to. The competition steps up a gear, obviously, but we're going to, you know, I guess my promise to kind of everybody, and I know that, you know, relaying the message back from, you know, communicating with the players, we're going to be doing everything we can to put ourselves in a position to go and compete as best we can in two games. You know, and obviously Montenegro away in the first one is going to be a challenge. Looking forward to getting out there, and you know, excited to be playing in Newcastle. And you know, I think what's going to be a sellout, great home atmosphere. I'm sure the fans will get behind us. So, you know, we're looking forward to doing what we can, and hopefully, you know, playing with that pride that should be there. That has been there on the women's side, should I say, and you know, I'm confident it is there on the men's side too.
Last couple of things. I mean, we talk about shop windows, and you obviously came very close to a BBL head coaching gig with Plymouth a few years ago, and yeah, you wanted to move up, and yeah, those of us have kind of seen you develop your skills, have sort of waited for that opportunity, I guess. And how much you maybe hope, and obviously it's the byproduct, it's not the main thing, but yeah, you know, maybe if you do well here, that it sparks the interest, that you know, it gets someone out there going, well, actually, this guy deserves this shot that he's waited for quite a while.
You've hit the nail on the head. You know, in terms of if it's a byproduct, it's a byproduct. I can only control what I can, and right now I'm controlling, you know, 100% effort on GB. I love my country. You know, I love representing my country. It's an honour. It's a privilege. Did I anticipate, you know, kind of referring back to, did I anticipate that this was going to happen, you know, when I was with the under-20s in 2013? It was an aspirational goal, but, you know, I think it was aspirational at the time. So the parameters, the circumstances that led to it, it's not, I've said this to the players, like, this is not a personal agenda for me. That, you know, the reason that I have kind of grabbed the opportunity is because I love the programme and I love the players, and I believe in you know, British basketball. I do, and I want us to get to where we can. I think, you know, I don't see this opportunity to maybe lead to something else. I am desperate to kind of you know, get an opportunity that you know, I've worked hard for. That doesn't mean that, you know, something's going to be given to me, but I am confident that, you know, as a British head coach who's, you know, 35 years old, I've developed, you know, in kind of conjunction with, you know, one of the most successful clubs in the country. I take, you know, pride in my development, you know, professionally, academically, you know, referring to things before, the last 2 years why the, you know, the coaching commitment has been down. I've, you know, completed a master's degree in performance coaching at the University of Stirling. You know, I've done my FIBA Europe coaching certificate. I've head coached over, you know, maybe 550 games. You know, we've had some kind of relative success at the levels that we are at. I've maintained relationships with players, you know, current. I like to see players who've moved on. I've got some experience at, you know, kind of obviously U20 national team level. I've, you know, helped kind of some coaches develop. I'm confident in who I am and where I am. I'm not where I want to be. And I think any coach in the world will tell you that in terms of their own personal developments. Would I like an opportunity to coach in our top league? Like, you know, absolutely. You know, and if something happens in the future, you know, who knows? I am, you know, that's obviously kind of in the background at the minute. I'm just, you know, 100% focused on what we can do, what we can do for this window.
I'm sure we wish you all the best in your interim head coaching debut for these two games, and I'm sure you're excited about the Newcastle one in particular, with Germany coming back up to the tune. But from all of us, thanks for joining us, and the best of luck on the road and back at home.
Appreciate it, Mark. Thanks for your time.
Well, that's it for this episode of the MVP cast. You can follow all GB's exploits in the current week ahead. Go to mvp247.com for more. And you can, of course, access all our previous editions via the website or head to your favourite podcast provider and press subscribe. Another edition of the MVP cast coming very soon. But for now, from me, Mark Woods, it's bye.